Hey, 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 listeners. Welcome to Live with Irenia Stories. Thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. If you're dropping by for the first time, don't touch this dial. And to my avid fans, thank you so much for continuing to follow me and listening to the sister podcast, The Canadian Side Hustle and Business, where you get tactical tips to build sustainable businesses through the stories of fantastic Canadians in business. My goal is to provide you with great value this season. I hope that you get a chance to listen to the stories of Mansi from India, Kate Key as well from India, Astrid from Vienna, Australia. And in today's episode, you're going to hear from Lauren Hassan from Texas, USA, as she shares her journey of hitting rock bottom with zero prospects in her career, how she overcame this obstacle, and you'll get some practical tips on how to push beyond your comfort zone. I hope with each of these episodes, you take in some useful nuggets which will help you to navigate your career and life journey. In today's episode, the question I want you to think about is, how important is it to relearn new skills along your journey? I repeat, how important is it to relearn new skills along your journey? This is the premise of this interview. And this is the question, as a listener, I want you to keep in mind. Now, if you're still here, which you are, hit that follow button on Apple or Spotify podcast or wherever you listen to the podcast, because I do not want you to miss any of the upcoming episodes. And also, you can go back and listen to all of the awesome stories. We have about 47 episodes that you can listen to. Now, let's get it started. This is Live with Irenia Stories, and I'm your host, Irenia Roussel.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on your show.
Well, I'm super pumped to have you here because I know that you are going to share so many golden nuggets with our listeners here today. And I know that, you know, your wisdom throughout your career journey is just going to be so impactful to the audience.
Well, thank you. I hope it is.
All right. So let's get into it. Lauren, let's get all the listeners, you know, familiar with who you are and how did you become the woman that you are today?
Awesome. Awesome. Do you want to know the whole story or do you want to start where I'm at now?
The whole story from the beginning.
From the beginning. So, so I've always been into math and science, but I've also been very creative as well. So I'm described as whole-brained by people who know me really well. But I got into computer science as a freshman in high school, and it was I'm the oldest of three children. My dad's a surgeon, my mom's a career counselor or school counselor for middle school, and she was a homemaker at the time. And I had one free elective in high school. And my parents wanted to be strategic about what they put, what I enrolled in. And so they asked some friends whose son had gone on to MIT and their daughter had gone on to Duke. And they said, well, what should we put her in? And they said, put her in computer science, not how to use computers, like how to use Word and Excel, but computer science, how to program computers. And so they blindly followed that advice. And I mean, I hated them at the time for doing that to me, because not only did they have no clue what I was in and I had no external help, I was flying 100% on my own. But I was in a class of all senior guys who I swear they didn't shower and they programmed for fun. And I was a fish out of water as a freshman girl. And so, but I went on to pick it up and, you know, having the daily instruction on basic computer science principles, you know, it was really valuable to have, you know, an hour a day. Yes. Of that training, and went on to excel, maxed out my computer science in high school. And so when it came time for college, computer science was a natural selection. And because I had that strong computer science background, I was able to kind of coast through the intro level courses and really excel in computer science. So I went to Duke. I did a triple major, electrical engineering, computer science, and I added a third, economics, because I just fell in love with economics. I love economics. Mm-hmm. And I did some, the idea was go to law school to be an intellectual property attorney. And, you know, intellectual property attorneys need a technical degree like electrical engineering or computer science. And I took one look at the LSAT, and bless my heart, even in my 18, 19, 20 years old, I knew like, this is not for me. And so I said, no, thank you. And then it was, what is she going to do? Mm-hmm. And so I did some internships at some big tech companies, and they just kind of left me with a sour taste in my mouth thinking, I don't know that I can do this for a career. They put me in a closet or a closet like office and said, learn Perl scripting and don't talk to anyone. And it just, that was not what I had in mind. So for a while, mm-hmm. I thought I was going to get a PhD in managerial economics. And then my boyfriend and my friends in college at the time were interviewing for management consulting and investment banking roles. Mm-hmm. And I got a look at how much they were getting paid. And it seemed like so much money at the time. It was $55,000. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be rich. So I decided to get into investment banking. And I did. I ended up working as an investment banker in Silicon Valley and then moved back to Dallas to work on the buy side. And then the entrepreneurial bug kind of hit me, and I started my first company, or my first real company. So I completely left tech and put it behind. And then, you know, flash forward 7 years later, it was coinciding right after the Great Recession, and I found myself laid off. You know, business had not succeeded. It had been hit by the recession.
Yeah.
I had just been laid off from one of the worst jobs I had ever had. And no confidence. I mean, no confidence at all. I was applying for, you know, minimum wage entry level admin jobs. Mm-hmm. And those jobs were going away. So I hired a career coach to help me figure out what I was going to do next. And she had me take one of those career assessments. And it overwhelmingly said I should be developing software, which felt like a cruel joke because, yeah, I had a degree, but my skills were over 7 years outdated. I mean,
yeah.
When I graduated, not only did the iPhone not exist, the Razor didn't exist, and like SMS messaging wasn't even a thing yet. I mean, I was terrified, like how in the world am I ever going to get back into tech? And, but I also knew it was my best shot.
Yes.
So I enrolled in an evening community college course to relearn my tech skills, and, you know, navigating education again 7 years later was daunting enough, and cold called every company I could find. And I mean, most people wouldn't even give me the time of day. And I got one interview at a big tech agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have said the right things. I had the right, you know, I had the right enthusiasm. And they said, we'll hire you at an intern level. We'll give you 90 days to teach yourself iOS and prove yourself that we should keep you. And that was my best shot. And, you know, I had nothing to lose. Well, I had a lot to lose. I had, you know, my confidence. I mean, if I failed, and then I was even worse off before, but I also knew it was my best shot to get ahead. And so I went in, and within, not only did I survive that 90-day period and Thrive actually won the company-wide award within that 90-day period.
But wow.
I was top of field. I'd worked on some of the biggest iPad and iPhone apps in the industry. I did the TBS and TNT iPad apps. I worked on those. I did the Discovery Channel iPad app. I did their co-viewing experience where we got the content on their television show to sync in real time with your iPad, which was brand new technology back then. And then my big client was Starwood Hotels and Resorts, where I was owned everything that touched revenue. And our work was featured in the Apple iOS 7 keynote, which was a big deal back then. In addition to that, I had been big into the hackathon community, and I had won a number of really high profile hackathons, including the South by Southwest hackathon.
Mm-hmm.
2 years in a row. And then I got the invite of a lifetime. I was one of 100 tech innovators worldwide invited to an invite-only event where British Airways put us on a private 747 jet and flew us from San Francisco to London. And then we attended the UKJ Innovation Conference and presented ideas to the United Nations. And it was just, it was incredible. I had gone from nothing 2 years before to top of the field in just 2 short years. And now flash forward, you know, 7 years later, I'm living out how I define success. I'm on the front lines of tech myself. I live in Dallas, Texas, and I work remotely for a Silicon Valley payments company. I've been working remotely for a West Coast company before people were working remotely for West Coast companies. I'm paid like a top West Coast engineer to live in Dallas. I get to work wherever in the world I want to. And I'm also the founder of Developer. I founded Developer to help other women in tech just like myself get ahead, stand out, and earn more in their tech career.
Wowzer. Absolutely amazing. I had so many goosebumps moments here, Lauren, throughout, you know, your backstory. And I have so many different places in there that I want to unpack, because I mean, from what I can see, you know, you're very driven and, you know, you had a strong drive, strong energy to succeed, you know, and I love that you had your pivots, you know, from tech to business, and then, you know, being an entrepreneur and back to tech again. And just wanted to really get a laser focus in what sort of mindset did you have to do when you made that epic pivot from being an entrepreneur and heading back into tech?
Yeah. And I talk about this very, very frequently when I speak in my book and all my programs. I have a mindset that no one's going to do it for me, that if I want change in my life, I have to be the change that I want to see. It comes from me. So I decide to own, I call it owning my outcome and taking action. And I'm very action oriented, and I don't wait for someone to come along and tap me on the shoulder, or for kind of luck to find me. I'm going to create my own outcomes that I want in life. And that's, I've always been that way. If I want change, it comes from me.
That is absolutely amazing. So that's an internal driven drive that you have to succeed, right?
I guess so. Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, there are times when I don't have it. You know, it's not, I'm not always on auto drive. There are times where I realize, oh, wait, I don't feel driven. And I just kind of coast for a little bit. But yeah, no, it does come from, you know, in it's internal to say, hey, I want this change in my life, and I'm going to go get it for myself.
Yeah. I love that, you know, and you mentioned, you know, working in tech, working remotely for quite some time. You know, in terms of showing up as a leader at any level, because you started with this company doing an internship, but you showed up, right? And you put your full skill sets, everything in. How do you show up as a leader from the get-go and get attention?
Yeah, so a lot of people wait till they get the title of leader to be a leader. I don't wait. I just take the lead. You know, I see an opportunity. A lot of people wait around for someone to tap them on the shoulder and call them a leader. I take initiative. And if I want to get something done, I go and I start getting it done. And you'd be surprised how often that actually makes you the de facto leader. You know, at the agency I was at, I was tapped to head up the internal innovation and culture committee. And that was because I was actually already doing the job. People were coming to me as the person who could solve their problems. And that's because I made it a point to get to know people. Yeah. I understood, you know, how everything fit together, and I got things done. And that's how I became, you know, leader, is when you get things done and take action.
All right. I love it. So really, external validation is not required, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, awesome. Thank you so much for that insight. That's a great golden gem here, listeners, for you to definitely bookmark and rewind this section, because Lauren just shared some really good advice here for us. So tell us a little bit more about Developer.
So Developer, I started Developer because I saw a lack of role models who are actually technical women. I saw a lot of women in tech role models, but I said, where are the CTOs, where are the CISOs, where are the architects? And honestly, I didn't think anyone would care about me. Like, who am I? I was just a rank and file software engineer, no different than anyone else. So I didn't think anyone would care about me. So I started by telling the other stories and bridging the gap that I thought needed to be filled. And then I was really surprised. I started by launching a podcast, and then someone called me up and said, "Hey, Lauren, do you have a story to tell?" And of course, I had an interesting story that I haven't even shared with you yet. So I had hit it out of the park at this agency, and then yeah. I literally got back from the UK GA Innovation Summit, and top of field, right? Just got back from a huge event, international recognition. And I got back, and one of the guys who had just started working at the agency, brand new, no skills. I was training him, managing him, honestly rewriting his code left and right.
Yeah.
And he pulled me aside and he privately complained to me about how little he was making. And I was not only stunned to learn that he was making exactly what I was making at the time, despite all of my years of experience and all of my credentials above and beyond his. But even worse, he'd been hired at 50% more than me than when I was hired at his level. And it was a wake up call for me. Up until that point, I had suspected I had been underpaid, and I had tried to, you know, address it and get paid more, but they kept saying, "Oh, well, you're just not there yet. You're just not there yet." And I kept thinking, well, if I work hard on one more project or do one more milestone, then finally I'll get paid. And this was my wake up call that no, Lauren, you're underpaid. There is no, just you're not there yet. And so, you know, if I'm honest, I was mad for a couple of weeks. And then back to my original advice, you know, I realized that if I'm going to get paid what I'm worth, it's going to come from me. And so I had to take that action. So I went out and I remember investing thousands of, initially, I think my first investment was like $800, and then it became thousands of dollars, you know, to learn to negotiate through coaches, resources, training, but it paid off. Within 2 years, I tripled my salary, and I didn't just triple my salary. That additional amount of money that I was making was a six-figure amount. And now I'm top paid woman in tech. I mean, I've more than quintupled my base salary.
That's
and
awesome.
So I shared that story with them, and I was like, yeah, I've got this story about how I was underpaid. And the next thing you know, I have the keynote. I went from, hey, can you entertain people for 20 minutes over to lunch, to having the opening keynote.
That's amazing.
And I got a standing ovation at that keynote. Mm-hmm. And what I heard is that I didn't know if I had anything valuable to share, if my story would resonate. I didn't know, but then I got a standing ovation. I realized I'm onto something. And so that's when I rolled out Developer's online salary negotiation training. And that won a bunch of awards and has helped women negotiate anywhere from 30 to 65. I have one woman who got two offers at $80,000 more in a single negotiation. So I rolled that out and had a lot of success with that. And now, you know, I not only work with individual women who want to get a raise in their current job, or they're on the market looking to negotiate their next job, but I license my program to university.
This is absolutely amazing. You saw a need in the market. You know, you experienced it, you saw that pain in the market, and now you've developed a business all around it. That is awesome.
I also want to point out, Irina,
yes,
for any entrepreneurs that are listening, because as an app developer, I heard all the time, I have an idea, I just need a developer, I just need an investor. Well, I had an idea and I didn't wait for an investor. I didn't wait for a developer. I self-funded it. I not only launched Developer into this international award-winning platform with no outside investments. You know, I funded this all with my own income, but I also did it while working full-time and my full-time job wasn't easy. I was actually, and I talk about this in my book, I was retooling multiple times at my day job. And I also got promoted. So to anyone out there who's saying, I can't because, look what I did. And I looked at those excuses and I said, Lauren, those are just excuses. How can you get around it?
Yeah, because, you know, and in looking at you, you were passionate about, you know, assisting other women who have been down a similar pathway that you have, like to empower them to negotiate. Yes, you had your full-time job, but you carved out the time. So tell our listeners, how did you carve out the time for your passion project developer, which is now a fully fledged business?
Yeah, and a lot of people have an opportunity for this right now because we're working remotely, but I got into remote work about 5 or 6 years ago, and then I specifically sought out remote work because I do really well at that in Excel. And so I don't have to get ready for a job in the morning. I don't have to print myself and get ready, get out the door and then have a commute, and the same thing with the evening. And so I just take those couple, I regain probably an hour or two extra in the day, and I've repurposed that into building developer. You know, honestly, a lot of my nights and weekends are devoted to developer. But it comes from a place of I love what I'm doing. And I think that's what people really see, is that I care, that I'm genuine. I talk about the ugly side that I've gone through and how I failed, things that I've learned the hard way, and how I bounce back, because it's not that like you don't succeed, it's that you bounce back and you keep trying.
And I love it.
Really resonated.
This whole resilience piece is so important, right? Because we all have highs and we all have lows in our lives. And at the end of the day, it's how we deal with it that matters, right? You rose up from that and you took action. You know, I love that you retooled, you know, went back to college and got your tech skills refreshed, right? And then just jumped right into the technology world. That's really cool.
Yeah, and a lot of the retooling didn't happen in a formal course. A lot of it happened with me teaching myself with just books, books and online learning. So even if it's out of reach to do an online community college course, I learned with a lot of free tools how to get back into iOS.
I love it. Great example of, you know, being self-driven. Also, you know, in terms of mentors, right, in all of this journey, have you had mentors that have impacted your life throughout these pivots that you've undertaken so far?
Yes, that's a great question. And I hear it a lot. Lauren, who were your mentors? Or I don't have mentors, I can't get ahead. And I call BS on that, because I have not had mentors. I have, you know, everyone keeps talking about, oh, I had this wonderful mentor who showed me the way. And I'm like, where did you find them? Because I didn't have them. But I didn't let that stop me either. I wasn't going to say, oh, I'm stuck because I don't have a mentor. If I needed outside perspective, I went out and I got a coach. And I found someone and I paid him to be my mentor. And I, you know, I went out and I looked for experts who had already done what I wanted to do, and they were providing coaching on that expertise. And I hired them. It was it money out of my pocket and a big investment? Yes. Was it worth it? Absolutely. And that's what I say to people. I think mentors are fantastic, and if you're lucky to have them, but I'm a big proponent of getting coaches and expertise and consultants in your corner.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of benefit for, you know, tapping into the experience of people who've been there, who've done it, right? It can cut down the amount of time and any mistakes, right? Because one would be going down a proven path already. So that's absolutely amazing. You know, if our listeners wanted to get your book, where is it available?
Yeah, so it's available on Amazon. So if you go to the develop her website, I have a link to get the book, and you can buy it on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle format.
All right, awesome. What is your superpower?
You said it earlier. I'm really resilient. I'm really good at not, I'm persistent. I'm resilient. Yeah, I think what my superpower, I have to ask my friends because I take it for granted a lot, but I really do think it's that I just don't give up. There's nothing special about me other than that. I am persistent and resilient. Like, I get knocked down a lot, but I keep, sometimes I stay down for a while and throw a pity party, but I get back up and I keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So, 2020 has really impacted us. The entire human race, right? During pandemic times. And so many people went through highs and lows, So Lauren, what has 2020 taught you, and how are you approaching 2021 differently?
Yeah, so 2020 taught me to be kind to yourself, and just, to sometimes just maintaining is progress. And just doing simple things. I no longer take basic things like health for granted. And starting from a place of gratitude. And for 2021, I think 2021 is a growth year for me. 2020 to now was sort of, okay, I'm just gonna be okay, and that's gonna be a win. That's a win. Yeah. That I'm just going to be like, nothing changed. Like, I just maintained. And like, that's hard for me because I'm very growth oriented.
Yeah.
And for me to say, okay, I just maintained my weight for a year and be like, that's a win. Or, I kept my same job and nothing else changed. And, about my big win for the year is I wrote a book. And be okay with that. And then 2021 is about getting back out there with a fresh perspective, and then going, okay, now, I've realigned my values. What's really important, and then go pursue that.
That's absolutely awesome. That's great. You're in the tech world, right? What are some of the trends you're seeing coming up?
Ooh. Well, I'm bullish on voice applications. I think artificial intelligence and voice and things that, there's intelligence behind how you're using it, not all user generated.
Mm-hmm.
I see that direction. I work in the payments industry, so I would personally like to see more intelligent payments. I wrote our entire voice payment system, so I'm a big proponent of voice. I'd like to see more intuitive interfaces with some AI driven behind it, so that we can focus on, as developers, higher value items.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for that. My goodness. I've had so many goosebumps throughout our episode. Let's get a little bit more personal. Let's talk about what puts a pep in your step and a pride in your stride in the mornings.
In the mornings? So here is a big spoiler. I am not a morning person at all. I my alarm goes off. I won't tell you what time, but my alarm goes off and it's not early. And I let it go. I snooze it for at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, maybe two sometimes. I live in Dallas and I work for a West Coast company. That's intentional. My secret is that I am more of a night person, and I definitely, lean into that and know that like I get my best work done at night, and I'm kind to myself. And so I meet myself where I'm at, and I just have a lazy kind of morning where I don't really talk to people. And I get my best work done later in the day. So probably not the answer that a lot of people are going, what does she do in the morning? But the answer is, not everyone's a morning person, and I still get a lot done.
Yeah. So I'm going to rephrase that. How do you find your joy?
How do I find my joy? I enjoy, I enjoy working out. That's something that I've discovered or rediscovered. I'm a former athlete and I got back into Orange Theory and then I got a Peloton tread. And, you know, I work out with a trainer now. I enjoy training and feeling, you know, like progression with like my physical body. So I feel good with that and learning new skills and doing stuff that I hadn't been able to do before. Like I've learned to cook. That was a necessity in this pandemic. Before that was just like no interest. You know, I would go out to eat, no problem. And then I really like out of necessity, I had to learn to cook. And so I did one of those meal services and I've learned to cook and I've learned to enjoy all these new flavors. So it's discovering new things and seeing growth. I find joy in growth.
That's awesome. I love that you said you learned to cook, you know. So what's cooking in your pot? One of your favorite recipes?
So I love Kraft hamburgers. I used to be a simple, give me a cheeseburger with ketchup and mayo and lettuce and tomato, and that's it. Now I've got all this meal delivery service still has all these different Kraft burgers, and I've tried them and they're so good. And then my other favorite is chicken schnitzel. I love a schnitzel with a beautiful honey mustard sauce. So basically every meal is my favorite, which is why it's been really successful.
The schnitzel sounds yummy, yummy, yum. And so does the Kraft hamburger. I'm hoping that you can share those recipes with our listeners. That'd be awesome.
If people want to reach out to me, I'll send them a special for the food label service that I'm using so they can sign up.
All right. That's awesome. And you know, we know that you talked about your book, your amazing book that you wrote recently. And in terms of books that have impacted you, business leadership books, can you recommend any for our listeners?
Hands down, there are two of them that have changed my life. Number one, I'm a big Tony Robbins person. So his book, Awaken the Giant Within, written in like the late 80s, 90s, oh, I've read it so many times. It's so chock full with great content that I personally changed my life. And then the second one is a really small book compared to Tony's Awaken the Giant Within. It's The Compound Effect. Mm-hmm. It's by Darren Hardy. And it's all about how, you know, small little actions compound over time and yield incredible results, which is the first, you know, chapter in my own book, you know, on getting change in your life and how, you know, it doesn't take massive quantum leaps to get ahead, but, you know, it's the daily little things that you do that really change your life and the trajectory of where you're going. So those are my two.
Awesome. I love Tony Robbins.
I love it. I've been to a number of his events and oh my goodness, unreal. I can't wait for those in-person events again.
Yeah. So high energy. Wow. Oh, and one more question before we wrap. We know how music changes our energy, our vibe, you know, really gets us going. What do you have on your playlist, your go-to song that you enjoy?
I've got a lot on my playlist, but I'll tell you what's currently on my list. It's some older music by Rod Stewart, Forever Young. It's just like the upbeat music. I play it in my car and I feel like I'm going somewhere. So I love kind of the 80s, techno isn't the right word, but I love 80s music and that sort of stuff to really get me going.
All right. Awesome. I love it. So do you have any last words of wisdom for our listeners? Because we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about, you know, your epic pivots. We've talked about your new initiative, Developer. And I'm so impressed, you know, you are a full-time career professional with your fully fledged business. It's so awesome that you're doing that. What words of wisdom would you have for our listeners who are listening, who are looking at, you know, starting their side hustle? So, you know, doing a pivot.
Yeah. So my biggest regret is that and I'm going to phrase it in terms of my biggest regret. My biggest regret is that I didn't invest in myself sooner. I didn't invest in coaches to learn how to negotiate sooner, coaches to get ahead in my career. It was a lot. It was hard to make those decisions because it was a lot of money comparatively for me. And that's hard to this day. I mean, even just this week, I made a big investment in myself and it's scary. But in hindsight, as I reflect on the growth that I've gotten because of that, my only regret's that I didn't invest in myself sooner. And because I've invested in myself repeatedly over the last decade, I went from nothing, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in debt to I am top of field, top woman in tech, more than quintupled my base salary, plus all kinds of equity on top of it. And I'm living out how I define success. And if that's not a return on investment, I mean, I'm kicking myself for not investing in myself sooner. And so, you know, get past the fear of it and invest in the future that you really want.
Listeners, did Lauren give you the golden nugget that you needed? I hope you found value in this episode because I tell you, she had a lot to share and she wasn't holding anything back. So definitely share this with a friend who you think will benefit from it, bookmark it, listen to it again, and as well, hit that Apple podcast follow button as well as the Spotify podcast follow button if you're listening on any of these platforms or wherever you listen to your podcast. Hit the follow button because I do not want you to miss any of the upcoming episodes. And in fact, we have a catalog of over 47 episodes for you to listen to. So go ahead and listen to some back episodes. Listeners, this is the time when I have to say goodbye, but it's only a short one because up next will be another fantastic techno-savvy woman, Roxandra, and you're going to really love what she's got to say because she's talking about agile teams. I love to hear from you. And I most definitely want you to know that right now I'm taking in some pitches on a rolling basis to come on here on the Live with Irenia Stories. If you've got a story to tell, if you have something inspiring that you feel that you could add value to the audience, please do come on, pitch your story, and of course I will get back to you as soon as possible. Okay. This is it, listeners. This is it. Thank you so much for tuning in. This interview, of course, was conducted remotely in my home studio. I hope that you get revived in your current adventure or get super motivated for your new adventure in 2023. I am your host, Irenia Roussel. And this is Live with Irenia Stories.